Welcome back to another Productivity Like a Pro podcast episode. Again, live with our members, recording this and answering all your questions in the chat, if you have any.
Paperless movement, your productivity, your way.
But today we wanted to tackle the topic, I think once again, I'm not sure if we did this a lot in the past, but it appears over and over again also in our Inner Circle cohort and our current one, the difference between Heptabase and Tana. When should you use what? Should you just one of each? Should you use both in combination? What else should you use? What is it at all? Right? Not everybody knows what Heptabase and Tana is. And that's what we want to dive in today. Paco, my dear friend, welcome back.
Hello, Tom. And yes, maybe someone's asking themselves, I don't know, can I live without Tana or Heptabase? Yes, you can.
And there are probably a lot out there still asking, how can I get access to Tana? Well, we can answer very quickly. That's appearing a lot in our Paperless Movement membership. In the community, how can I access Tana? There we keep answering. Join the community from Tana in Slack. And usually if you ask there if you can get access, then there's somebody who can give you an invite, or even the developers themselves will share the invite. It usually works very quickly, as we can see from the community feedback, right? Usually they come back within a day and say, yeah, I got access to Tana. So maybe we start with Tana then. What is Tana all about? Why is it so fancy? I can say it's a outliner. Now Paco can expand on this.
Yeah, no, I was sorry not to look at the camera, okay? Because I was looking to my other monitor.
I think the
right
people
now
in the podcast don't care.
How many people join the Slack channel on Tana, okay? And they are right now today, March 25th, 2024. 18,436 people. So I think that someone will send you an invite for sure.
Okay. That's the point. Yeah. The more the merrier. I already wonder why it's not public yet. Well, it would make sense. And that's the first thing to tackle. It's the complexity and the steep learning curve. And I'm sure they want to improve this before they go live in the broad public, maybe. But yeah, now let's answer the question. It's an outliner, but it is a lot more than that. But for all of you who don't know what an outliner is, Paco will explain to you now what an outliner is. Something we also answer in our digital note-taking, like a pro course inside the membership. We dive deep into this. Obviously, it's a technique. But well, Paco, what is an outliner for you? Because you are in love with these type of tools, right?
Yes, right. It's a technique that I've been using for, well, I don't know how many years, because I don't know. The first outliner that I've ever used, I think it was Omni Outliner or something like that from the Omni Focus group. I think they had something like that. And that's why, yes, because that's why I came into Omni Focus as a task management, and project management tool for me. I spent, I think, 3 years using Omni Focus as a task manager. But I think that Omni Outliner was the first one or something. So quite a long ago. And since then, I've been jumping from one to another. Before Tana, I was into Workflowy. That it was amazing for me. It was minimal. It has everything perfectly implemented, clean. You could use your keyboard without any problem to navigate through the different nodes, okay? And an outlining is a technique. That's something that people need to know, okay? It's not the tool itself, okay? We call Tana and all these tools outliners because they use the outlining technique, okay? But outlining was something that you can use on paper without any problem. And it's just a way of creating ideas and give them some structure, okay? Based on a tree, okay? You start with an idea and then start developing, creating a tree with different...
I just want to say, and we saw on X recently a post from Thiago Forte, the developer of Second Brain, who mentioned a few things what any note-taking tool should have or all you need to take proper notes. And one point was bullet points. You only need bullet points. And I think it's important now to explain the difference between bullet points and outlining, as there is actually a difference and many people misunderstand or see this as the same thing, right?
Yeah, sometimes I thought about why the heck did they use a bullet? But the point is that I was trying to use another symbol, I don't know, a hashtag or whatever, you know, so that people don't think that an outliner is just bullet points, you know, because so many people using Common Life, I think that if they have used some other symbol, I don't know, a strange symbol, I don't know, I can look at my keyboard and I don't know, the dollar, I don't know, you know, and instead of bullet, they create dollars instead of that. And then people don't get confused, because the moment that they see any note-taking app, any word processor or any whatever, okay, you see bullets and then you think that it's exactly the same and it has nothing to do, okay? It has nothing to do because now Outliner goes beyond, okay? The other day I was reading about the history about outlining and the outlining technique, and well, I think it comes in the 17th century or something like that, okay, where people start, it's just to create some bullets, okay, to, first of all, I think that it's a dump of your idea, you dump them, and then you create order by putting things up and down or indenting or un-indenting the different ideas, okay? Because the moment that you see that there's a relation, for instance, I say, for instance, I want to do a presentation, okay? So I say greetings, content, and, okay, saying goodbye to the people, okay? That's the structure, the simple structure. I say, well, in the presentation, I'm going to include A, B, and C. Okay, well, then you indent below presentation, you write down that, and this is endless, okay? That's a beautiful thing about an outliner, that there are no limits, okay? You are not limited to the number of
But so far, when we say bullet list, then you are referring that they are not indented, right? It's just a normal bullet list, but any bullet list I can also indent, so...
Well, yes, that's it. That's why, for me, a bullet list, and that's even worse, okay, allows you to indent some other bullets. In fact, they change the type of bullet so that you can identify better the parents and the children and the grandchildren and all the hierarchy, okay? Because this is putting hierarchy and order into the chaos, okay? So when you have a lot of ideas, you create a dump and start writing about them. You put the basic ideas, the main ideas, and then you little by little go one by one, including additional ideas or sub-ideas, okay, that came to your mind referring to the parent, okay? The beautiful thing about tools like any outliner is that you can go into any parent, okay, and the rest of the tree disappears, okay? You don't see the other parents, and then you can be focused on just that parent and create the hierarchy, and that's again endless, okay? You can go into a child and the parent disappear, and you go deeper into that structure of parents and children endlessly, and that's one of the beautiful things.
So in fact, each bullet point becomes a page. I know they are called notes in Tana and or in general in outlining, but to better understand for the people, if I'm in Notion, for example, I have everything in pages. If I'm writing on a page, I can add another sub-page on this page, click on this and go deeper, and then I have opened this other page. And that's what you can essentially do in the outliners as well. You write the parent, then you write children's, then you write another parent. And when you go into one parent, as you already explained, the other parents disappear and you see only the children that you created for this parent. But in each children, you could go in again and it will be another page that you can write on. And that's really the amazing thing. What I think, what really stands out, also if we compare it to a simple bullet list in any other tools like ClickUp as well, or I think even in Notion it is the case, when you have a bullet list and you indent and then you move things around, it doesn't use each bullet as an own entity. So therefore, right, you're moving the whole block, or then it moves completely outside of the bullet. It's no proper control. In Tana or in Workflowy and other outliners, you're moving the nodes in a complete different way, right? A lot faster and a lot more in control.
Yeah, and also, as I like to do, as this is a parent-children, okay, relationship, you move the whole family, okay? The moment that you move up and down, for instance, if I move and I say, well, instead of starting with the presentation, I will put the presentation at the end, okay, of my lecture. And then I move the presentation and those children, A, B, C, that I had created before, that I mentioned before, then they go with the parent. So imagine how powerful it is when you are creating something that it's complex, okay? Let's imagine an outlining that it's complex. Then you are moving everything up and down, and you can indent and indent, move children from one place to the other. You can stay creating references, for instance, to some of the children. The things becomes complex, and that's where complexity comes into town. And the moment that you compare that with a, let's call it, more usual note-taking or intuitive note-taking tool like heptabase, for instance, you see the difference. Okay? Yeah. And that's the moment that people get confused, because then they say, well, but then I use Tana, I use heptabase. If I want to move from one to another, what do I do? I don't use any of them. And that's where problem begins for people, at least for many of our members who reach out trying to identify when we move things from Tana to heptabase or vice versa.
Okay? Exactly, but let's stay in Tana for a while. So we go through the different feature sets, and because then we can compare it much easier to heptabase, I think. So we talked about the outlining feature, and when we look in heptabase, the feature, well, let's compare the features directly. If we look into heptabase, we have an outlining feature more or less, which is not an outliner at all. But they made a very smart implementation of the bullet lists. At least you can move around parents. So it moves the whole block up and down, as far I know. I think this is, yeah, it works
there. I'm not sure because I used it a long time ago and I'm not sure.
Yeah, the point so is I have to double check, but I thought it was the first application that is not an outliner that allows you still to move the whole block if you selected it. And if you moved this in a Google Doc document or in ClickUp Doc or something like that, then you will realize, then you know exactly what we mean. If you move the parent and there are children below, and you move the parent, the children will stay and the parent will move away. And that's something that's not happening in the outliner, as you explained. The parent, including all the children, will move around. And I thought this works in heptabase as well. But even if not, they also give you the feeling of an outliner. So you have these lines on the side, so you see what is indented. So it's much more visual. What are the children? What is the parent? It also allows you with shortcuts to open close the parents, because that's also another advantage of outlining, that you can close the parent with all the children. And then you have a list of all the parents and it's much easier to get the overview. And then you go back. Others can compare this to toggle lists. So in Notion, also in heptabase or ClickUp, you have these toggle headers, and then you can close this header and everything is hidden. This is exactly the same thing, but it is no outliner. So each bullet is just a bullet in heptabase, while in Tana, I can dive into the bullet and give additional context. And now talking about context, there's another big feature in Tana that we need to talk about that makes it stand out, are the super tags, and that I can actually add very easily multiple tags to a node. All right. So Paco, do you want to explain the super tags?
The point is that, well, Tana is based on the object-oriented paradigm. Well, not easy for me to pronounce paradigm, but it's a concept, okay, a methodology, a framework, whatever you name it, okay, that revolutionized how people code it. Okay, they changed everything, because at that moment, everything became an object, okay? An object that has certain properties and what we call methods, okay? These processes that you can run into that object, okay? And this is, again, how things becomes messy. Imagine for a busy professional that it's, I don't know, marketing manager trying to understand the object-oriented thing and saying, man, I just want to take notes on my meeting, okay? That's why we say that. Beware of Tana, because you see out there beautiful implementations, but you don't think the work that is behind and the concepts. Because at the end, the only way to understand this type of tools is understanding the concepts that represent the foundational core of the tool, and then use them, okay, and learn how to use them. Because if you try to memorize the things, to do things based on system, on templates, on whatever, it's impossible, okay? It's impossible because you got endless combinations of endless features, of endless everything, okay? And then it becomes overwhelming.
We always tell our members to go through the iCode journey first inside the Paperless Movement membership, through all the courses, digital note-taking like a pro, PKM like a pro, especially when it comes to the knowledge management and the note-taking part, before you ask for what tool should I use. Neither ask us nor in a community or things like that, because we talk about tool agnostic concepts and workflows in these courses. We force this because it's so essential to understand the tool agnostic principles first, and then you will look at any tool in a complete different way. And what you just mentioned, Paco, that's exactly the thing. Once you understand this, the tool doesn't matter anymore. You will go to the tool, you will try to apply your tool agnostic concepts and workflows and see how this tool can provide it to you. How can it enhance these concepts and workflow in the best way possible? And that's where we then end up in tools like Tana, because Tana supports best these concepts and workflows when it comes to these different parts, to those that we teach in the digital note-taking and the PKM course. And therefore, it's so essential. And you will then also see very quickly, where are the limitations? I cannot cover everything in this one tool. And then you see looking out for another tool that enhances the missing part that you miss on this tool that you are currently using. And therefore, we are using then Heptabase. So we are talking Tana for shallow thinking and Heptabase for deep thinking. They're two concepts that we talk about in iCore. And therefore, we are using Heptabase and Tana without to diving too deep into this, because we will do this in a moment. But I just want to mention, we are using Heptabase and Tana in combination because we know each other's limitations and strength, and leveraging each strength in the best way possible and filling up the weaknesses with the other tool. But I think that this is really the key, where other people go to YouTube and they check out, oh, there's a video about Heptabase. Oh, this looks so awesome, this tool. And they move everything into this other tool because they have a gut feeling the current tool they're using is missing something. And then they feel the other tool can solve everything, but neither do they know what they're actually missing in their current system or in a current tool. It's just a feeling. And then they will move over to the other tool and realize, man, I'm still missing it, or they miss something else that they loved on the other tool. So that's why it's key to understand what it is that you're missing by understanding concepts and workflows, and then make informed decisions on what tools you use to set up this proper note-taking system.
And especially with tools which are so open, flexible, like Tana, you know, because in Tana, it's like coding with no code, okay? Because you got all the elements, okay? You can create processes, you got objects that have a structure, that is the database world, and then you got everything. I mean, if you want to try to run everything, it could be possible. Now, the thing is that we don't recommend that at all, okay? Because we are against that approach of one app for everything, okay? For that, that doesn't work after decades trying that approach, because it sounds fantastic, okay? Just having one tool for everything, and you forget about the rest of tools, and that's not possible because of the things that Tom has just said, that you should try to take the best out of each tool. And that's what we do in the combination between Tana and Heptabase, okay? Because the point is, and the question, that the beginning of everything, okay, related to this episode, is what's the moment that you decide, first off, for us, it's not or Heptabase, it's Tana and, because they are complementary, okay? That's the one of the most important things, because people think that they are like competitors in the world of PKM or note-taking. Of course, there are people out there who defend their position to the limit, okay? That's not our approach. We will never say, bet on this tool and that's it. No, it depends on your circumstances, how you think, your environment, everything, okay? And that's why we focus on processes and concepts, okay? Workflows and process, because the tool comes afterwards. And the point is, when do you move from one tool to another? Well, I will share my case as an inspiration, because this is something pretty personal. This is not something that it's just use this rule and it will work. No, I can tell you my rule or my criteria, and based on that you get inspired, and then you decide based on your circumstances, your knowledge, how do you feel with each scenario, how you deal with it, okay? And in my case, for instance, for me the beautiful thing about outliners is that the best representation of an idea is a node, okay? It's that bullet point that is represented as a bullet, but it's not a bullet, it's a node. And for me, that's the best representation, because an idea can be as simple as a sentence and as complex as a huge paragraph, and even a book, okay? Even a book. And for instance, right now that we are preparing a book here at the Paperless Movement, how are we handling all this process? And I think that it's a real use case that can help the people to understand how we make this approach, okay? So for instance, we are thinking about the book. For me, the ideas that come to mind is creating the structure of the book, okay? It will have an introduction, there will be an appendix, it could be a content in the middle, and how do I structure that? Well, that's the first starting point. For me, that's pretty easy to do it using nodes, okay? It's just I write the sentence, intro, another note, another sentence, intro, another note, another sentence, period, okay? Just a matter of seconds, okay? If I try to do that on Heptabase, I could do it with Bullet, but the thing gets more complicated because then I think, well, in the middle, we have to say something, I guess. So what do we say in the middle? Well, we can talk about one, two, three. Well, it becomes messy. I indent them so that at any moment I can collapse quickly just using keystrokes, okay? I can collapse, I can open, I can move the whole family upwards and downwards. And that's something that the moment that I start using Heptabase, for instance, for doing that, or I use Notion to do those bullets, up and downs, collapse, open, that becomes, it's impossible, okay? That's why outliners exist, okay? Because it gives you the speed that at a certain processing of your brain, the two runs at the same speed, okay? And that's a beautiful thing about that. You don't have any constraints, any limitations, any painful situations that create friction that your brain gets annoyed, and then you lose the idea that you were trying to develop and represent and write down, okay? So that's the first thing. But what happens? That when you are talking about a book, there's a moment that you are using the outlining technique that it becomes messy because I want to start putting content, huge chunks of text, for instance, that I want to put inside any of the bullets. At that moment, for me, it becomes messy, okay? The outliner, that was something beautiful, that runs pretty fast, that it's clear, it becomes messy because I cannot manage that huge amount of information quickly. I need to represent it using some other thing different. In this case, it's the moment to use, for instance, Heptabase, because I'm using big chunks of text that are related. Okay, I don't want to waste the time giving a structure to that because I'm just creating the backbone of the book. I move to Heptabase. And what do? I use cards, okay? Each note becomes a card at the beginning. But I say, well, man, I have the cards and now I use a whiteboard because even using cards, it becomes messy. I need something visual, but with text. That's why I cannot use a visual thinking tool like Miro, because I'm manipulating big chunks of text. And when I'm talking about big chunks, I'm talking about, I don't know, maybe 50 lines, 60 lines. It's a huge, it's even bigger than my screen. So I need to handle that. And that goes perfectly into a card. And then that's a beautiful thing about Heptabase. And for me, it becomes natural. When do I move? Well, when I see that the outliner is giving me a lot of friction, I change the tool and I move into Heptabase. I try with card, impossible, then I move that. That's a beautiful thing about Heptabase. That is not a visual thinking tool. It's a note-taking tool that has certain features related to visual thinking, like whiteboards. And then I can use whiteboards, and there I can move the things, I can color things up, I can create groups, I can create sections, I can create connections using arrows, and that gives me the powerful sensation of having control of what I'm working about. Because at any moment, I can move quickly from visual to text. And that's a beautiful thing about Heptabase, that you move without any friction from visual thinking to when you want to go deeper and write things down, but a lot, okay, not a small field name description. No, whatever you want, text, because that's a beautiful thing about Heptabase that you can use inside a card markdown so that you can create headers, you can create bullets, you can create a lot of formatted text that helps you digest the content that you are doing. And I think that that's an example quite useful to really understand how you can move, because at any moment, what I always say is no matter the system, the tool that you are using, the structure, okay, of the content so that you can search everything. I don't care if I look at Heptabase or Tana because the structure of the things, okay, this book, it's a project, okay, and it's a project in Tana, in Heptabase, and on Clicker, for instance, because on Clicker, we have created a project that has the tasks, the actions items that we need to develop that book, like creating the outline, creating the first chapter, whatever. You know, that's how we handle, and everything is connected, because that's the beautiful thing about these two tools, for instance, and most of the tools nowadays, that you can link to certain objects without any problem. I can create a link from Tana to a node on Tana from Heptabase, okay? I can create, and vice versa. I can create a link to any object from any application, in this case, Tana, to Heptabase. So I can navigate easily, taking advantage of the strengths of each app, and not taking, because imagine that I just use Tana to create a book. How the heck I'm gonna start my narrative, okay? text that I need commas, I need a paragraph, I need to, well, to express myself, because that's not ideas. That is something that is an explanation, and wide explanation about something. That's a moment that you need long text format. And many people are asking to the people in Tana that they want long text format inside Tana. And they say, man, you don't know what behind, because the structure, talking about the software that's behind, okay, the structure, how they code, how they create the databases, how each object is representing in the database, completely different. If you compare the database model between Tana and Heptabase, they have nothing to do. And that's a problem, you know, that it's impossible. It's impossible for Heptabase to become a pure outliner, and it's impossible for Tana to become a long text format tool. It's something that it's literally impossible. And that's why, for instance, if you ask Notion to do exactly the same as Tana, it's impossible, okay? Impossible. The point is that, well, they use elements that you can, well, name bullets, okay? They, in the case of the three tools that I have just mentioned, they have databases, okay, that you can connect. And that's how people get confused, okay? Because they think that it's exactly the same, and it's not, okay?
Yeah. And Mary says this here, Paco, thanks for clarifying that transition from an outline to adding large chunks of content to that outline. For example, the transition from Tana to Heptabase, very helpful. And it's really key to understand this, because the question would now be, and this is usually the question that we then get, is what about the scattered information? Now I have information in two different places, and you mentioned it already. Well, you can connect these nodes with each other. There, it's key that you have the same structure in all the tools that you use. That, and when you talk about structure, you mean the key elements, you talk about the topics, the projects, and that's something that we teach in iCore as well, how to set up this My Life OS and how to structure your life and create these buckets where you know exactly where to store the information in, where whatever information gets thrown at you. And therefore, replicating the structure in any tool will make it so easy to transition from one to another, to even kill one and stay in another. And again, now the question is, don't I duplicate information this way? And it's not, because in our case, Tana and Heptabase have two different purposes. Not only that we talk about the same project, but the type of content is different. In Tana, we talk about the shallow thinking, to develop the ideas, to quickly think and develop the ideas in the outlining, leveraging the outlining methodology. And then for those who know Tana versus Heptabase, know exactly, you cannot do formatting or anything like this in Tana. You have to have paragraphs in notes, okay? Each note is a paragraph. So this is the moment to move on to Heptabase, to dive, to do the deep thinking and to further establish what you have already distilled in Tana. And I published a video on YouTube for those who are interested. We are also using Reader in front of Tana. So when we talk about shallow thinking, Tana is a mix of shallow and deep thinking, again, depending on what we think about inside Tana. And Reader is really just a shallow thinking. It's a dump where you really, oh, that's interesting on the web, I save this. So therefore, you're already collecting there, distilling it further by highlighting in Reader, and then it gets into Tana with the synchronization. I don't want to dive too deep into this, because if you're interested, watch the other video. However, the key here is really that we are not duplicating information. It's a process. We are processing the information into the other tool, or it stays in one tool, like in Tana, with a start and end. For example, I have to write a complicated email answer, and then I draft it out on Tana. That might be it. But Paco, you explained it a lot. Last time there was a very complicated email that needed to be very long with a lot of information. That was the moment you moved on to Heptabase to get the visual representation. And now the question is, when I search for information, where do I look up the information then? And that's also something. There are only two places where you look it up. And either you go to your shallow thinking system to get inspiration if you search for things, or you go to the deep thinking system where it is already very clear where to look at. Because usually, at least for me in Heptabase, it's very clear. I have whiteboards for certain key elements, topics, and I go to this whiteboard, I find exactly what I'm looking for, because I'm not cluttering up my deep thinking tool, which is HeptaBase, with all the floating ideas and URLs and all this. While in Tana, I have my journal that I use to write down whatever comes to mind during the day, and I know it will stay there. In HeptaBase, I'm not using the journal. So these are the features that I shut down for the purpose of staying to the purpose of the tool that I'm using it for, deep thinking versus shallow thinking. And then there are features that I double down on in the different tools, which would be then the outlining functionality and also the super text that I mentioned it, but we are running out of time today. I think that would be a whole episode just talking about super text next time. So don't forget to tune in next time. But this is really the key, having the structure in both tools or any other tool then.
Yes, and trying not to force the things. I mean, when you are working with tool that it's designed to handle with long text format, it's just you'll be trying to look for features related, for instance, to outlining, that it's something pretty specific. Or for instance, I don't know, if I try to use Craft as a note-taking app or PKM, don't ask for databases in Craft, okay? Because it doesn't make any sense. It wasn't the purpose. It's not the way the software company is developing the product. And just be focused on the main features, the one that they really shine, and then look for some other alternatives that covers the things that you are missing in the tool. And the moment that you can create connections or links between objects in different tools, it doesn't matter. Where do I search? Well, first of all, we are talking about just two tools. So it's just two tools. We are not talking about 20 tools to look for the content. But the point is that moment connected, the moment that you say, man, this is the same piece of content and I have the same piece of content in two different tools, or even three, okay? Because for instance, we have work streams on ClickUp, okay? For instance, when I write the articles or Tom prepares his videos, we have work streams, and those are the actions, okay, that we need to do to create the piece of content until we publish it. And for me, I have the connections, okay? I have the connection between the three tools in that piece of content. So I don't care. I can create the search using, I don't know, ClickUp AI, the article appears, and I quickly can navigate to Tana to see the outline. I can navigate to HeptaBase to see the article that I have written down. So there's no problem at all. That's why using different tools and taking advantage of features of the tool, because imagine creating such a complexity of our work streams on Tana. That's something that, well, I cannot imagine, okay? It's something impossible. We have automations, we have connection with some of the things. We need to share the things to create comments, and there are third people interacting with us. We have maybe conversations on Slack that we link. Well, the point is that having a clear vision of your productivity system, okay, knowing the architecture of tool you have, why you use each of them, because you need to justify. That's why we use the iCore framework, because it justifies to you the applications that you are using and why and when you should be using them. And that gives you the clarity of having that map, that iCore framework in your mind, in your brain, and it becomes second nature. Because for you, I don't have any problem whenever something pops up. It's a thought. I know where to store it. I know how to retrieve. It's an action. I know it's an action related to my team. It's a comment. And everything is there. And besides, we establish protocols the moment that we interact with our team, and everything works, okay? Everything works. You become productive. You don't suffer anxiety, and everything is crystal clear, because it's based on your comprehension of your productivity system. That's why we at the Paperless Moving is telling the people how they can build their own productivity system, because it's something so personal. It's something that you need to design and create yourself. Some other thing is that we help you learn how to build that, but we're not going to tell you this is your iCore framework, you have to use it and use this workflow, that those are the ones that work for me. No, because each situation, each person is totally different one to another. That's why for me, it doesn't make any sense. Well, you're going to run your life just using Notion, and here you have it. Notion, this is how you set it up. Here's your template, and you will be happy. For me, that doesn't work. For us, it's totally different and the opposite. Okay, and I think that this is even better, because we are giving you freedom, okay? Freedom to choose the tool that you really like, that you really enjoy, that you really trust, that sometimes is the tool that your company tells you to use. So you have the freedom, and also we give you the possibility that at any moment you can check any new tool or any software, piece of software that someone introduces, and quickly uniquely see the strength, the weaknesses, where it fits inside your ICOR framework, if it's worth it to give it a try, if not. And I think that that's a beautiful thing about that. You are free to use whatever you want, because at the end, we always say the same, Comset and workflows, and that's it.
That's exactly it. Amen to that. And concepts and workflows, as we said many times in this session, is what it makes it easy to switch tools, to understand the tools that you're using, and that give you this anchor to make a comparison to other tools, because you have the specific tool set for your workflows and concepts that you need. Therefore, now you have something that you're comparing it with, and not just the features that look so shiny and fancy and then make total sense for the YouTuber out there showing you how amazing he lives as a solopreneur, a creative solopreneur student, for example, while you are running a 600 people company and suffering through the day because you're not able to take notes. It makes just no sense. And as Paco already said, we are all so different, each individual, that it is so important to make it for yourself. And with ICOR, that's the easiest way to understand what it is that you actually need and grow from there. This being said, we have our Inner Circle cohort. These are our coaching sessions and the program with coaching sessions with Paco and me, and with additional resources where we help our members to go through the ICOR methodology. So it's a done with you program, and therefore we have to stay in time and stop here now, because we have our next session with our Inner Circle members for the April cohort. So cannot wait to dive into this. And guys, tune in next time. We will talk more about super techs, I guess, then. Okay, catch you up next time. Bye bye.
See you guys, and thank you for being here. Everybody.